Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Neil Amato, a senior editor with the JFA, and I'm joined for this episode by Ken Witt, a CPA who holds the CGMA designation. Ken is the senior manager for management accounting for the AICPA, and he has overseen the Business and Industry Economic Outlook Survey for about a decade. Ken, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Neil. Always good to be here and talk about the Economic Outlook Survey.
You've been paying close attention to the data in this survey, which is quarterly and provides a forward-looking view into the thinking of finance decision makers. Some of that view includes the challenges they face. Suddenly, domestic economy is now high on the list. Domestic political leadership has also jumped up near the top. Why is that?
Yeah, looking back over the past couple of years, while there were a couple of blips with respect to domestic political leadership, for the most part, what we have seen is optimism about the economy and favorable comments about political leadership, especially in response to the Tax Act. Over the past few quarters, we have begun to see increasing concerns about the length of the current recovery, and while for the most part, many of the overall indicators seem to be showing strength, when we ask the open-ended question about what is influencing their view about the economy, tariffs and trade concerns were very frequently cited, along with the continued political unrest.
So also on the list of challenges, something that stood out to me is regulatory requirements. I've been following this survey since about 2012, and it seems that regulatory requirements were always, if not first, very high. Now down to sixth on the list. Can you recall a time that it's been that low?
No, you're right. For the longest time, regulatory requirements topped the list of challenges on an ongoing basis. In the past few years, we've seen a few dips, but this is the first time that it has dropped to the sixth place ranking that we're seeing this quarter. While I do think, regulatory requirements and compliance, is an ongoing concern and problem for companies, going back to the open-ended question we ask our readers about their, what's influencing their opinion, we have seen over the past several quarters comments about regulatory relief being a positive influence. So I think that may be sort of having some bearing on the kind of decline on the list of challenges.
So we've talked about challenges 2, challenges 3, and challenges 6. Now let's actually talk about the top challenge. For a while now, availability of skilled personnel. What are companies doing about that? They keep saying it's a challenge, so obviously they're taking steps to address it. Are they spending more on training, or what are they doing to combat that challenge?
Yeah, here again, while I think the availability of skilled personnel continues to be at the top of the list and ongoing problem for companies. It's also reflected in the current low unemployment rates. It's a problem that companies have been addressing for several years now. So the actual rate that companies plan to increase their workforces by eased a couple of tenths in this quarter from the second quarter, and also the rate of spending for training and development also eased a couple of tenths. So while companies are still planning to increase their hiring and increase their spending on training, they're going to do so over the next 12 months at a slightly less rate than they projected last quarter. In the second quarter, we did drill down into some of the reasons that, or some of the solutions that companies are trying to deploy against this challenge of getting the right workers in their workforces. And the vast majority of our respondents said they plan to increase salaries and wages in response to the tight labor market. But we're also seeing a little bit of easing in the rate of increase in salary and benefits this quarter. So there's a little benefit to this that we're starting to see. But aside from that, companies have adopted a wide range of both compensation-related tactics and culture-related tactics to deal with the challenge. So I think it's sort of things that have sort of begun to embed themselves in the organizations over the past few years as they've sort of struggled with this challenge.
On the topic of hiring plans, one thing I noticed is a year ago, 32% of respondents said their companies planned to hire because they had too few employees. Now that's down to 25%. What does that say to you?
I think a couple of things. You know, for the most part, I think it reflects, you know, what I was just talking about. Companies have really sort of been trying to address this problem for the past few years, and maybe they're sort of catching up with themselves a little bit. You know, but I think there's also a possibility of a bit of easing about their expectations for the continued strength of the economy going forward. While we only have 25% with too few employees that say they are planning to hire, we also have only 13% that say they're hesitating to hire, which is the lowest percentage that we have seen this year. When looking at this on more sort of an overall basis, this is the first quarter in the past 2 years that we've had less than 40% of our companies say they have too few employees. And taking a look at the breakdown by company size, only 21% of companies with revenues in excess of $1 billion are planning to hire, and 18% of these say they are reluctant to hire. So I always kind of take a look at this breakdown. While the small companies, you know, really, when they're hiring, you know the economy's good. But the big companies, I view them as a bit more of a bellwether of what to expect and look for going forward.
You mentioned it some earlier in our conversation, but in general, is the outlook still positive? We're talking about so many of these declines, but where do things stand overall?
Well, I think, you know, right now the outlook is still positive. We're still seeing a lot of the traditional signs of strength: low unemployment, continued growth, low interest rates, continued stock market strength. And we're, you know, also seeing continued optimism in our retail sector and construction. On the other hand, manufacturing optimism has started to taper off, along with hiring in that sector. So on the downside, we may be starting to see some of the impact of the policies that our members cited as concerns that I noted before, especially the tariff and trade issues. So while I think it also might be worth noting that the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index posted its largest monthly decline in August since December 2012, when we had the fiscal cliff issues that were the big news. This time, you know, consistent with the concerns that our members voiced in this survey, one in three of the respondents to the Michigan Consumer Survey cited tariffs as a concern. So, and I think if you take note of the period in which our survey was open, it closed on August 20th, I believe, was the closing date, and that was before the G7 summit and all of the sort of ongoing talk about, you know, further increasing tariffs, and so we'll see what comes of that and what the impact will be of those issues going forward.
Right. And that next going forward time will be around the first week of December, when we'll get the sentiment from the November survey period.
Yes, exactly. That's why we'll survey in November and then publish our results first of December.
Okay. Ken, thank you so much. Again, this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. For more news on the Economic Outlook Survey, you can visit journalofaccountancy.com. I'm Neil Amato. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.